You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. The championship game tips at 9:20 Eastern time.
And Tony Kornheiser, I know, I set my alarm clock to wake me up for it. So I'll be good that's after that, I think.
That's not going to be a long nap, though. That's about a 40-minute nap?
Not much, but, you know, I want to be able to watch at least some of the game. I don't make any guarantees for all the game, but some of the game, yeah. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, South Carolina beats UConn. Tiger Woods is a game-time decision, and Ben Simmons is out through the play-in. But we begin today with tonight's NCAA championship game. North Carolina got there by beating Duke in a tense, tight, terrific game. Kansas got there by beating Villanova from beginning to end. Wilbon, does this final between North Carolina and Kansas feel anticlimactic to you?
You know, Tone, I started wondering about that Saturday night after the two games ended. And at the time, I was going, they're not going to match this. I'm not going to love Monday. Right. I'm going to get distracted and start clicking. No. Here we are at Monday, and I'm excited to see North Carolina versus Kansas. I mean, first of all, it's talk about a blue blood matchup. It certainly is that.
Yeah.
Two schools with unbelievable history. Not just overall, but in the Final Four in championship play. So, Tony, I don't think it's going to seem anticlimactic. And I thought it would be, but I think everything that I've needed to think about, contemplate regarding Mike Krzyzewski and his career, I've done that. We've done that on this show. Every show has done that. Mike Krzyzewski has not gotten short shrift. We're still going to think of him as, I don't know, the second greatest coach in the history of college basketball. It's time to move on. You go to the next game. That's what sports does better than anything else in our culture. So I hate to quote the great Tom Brady, let's go. It's time to go.
Yeah, you always take this position. It's a dependable position you take, and I think it's fine. But honestly, I feel like this is going to be anticlimactic. We're
really
hours ahead of it. That's my that's my feeling now. I feel like North Carolina gave everything it had emotionally and physically to beating Duke. And I don't know how much they have left. I mean, I really don't. Look, North Carolina has beaten Duke twice in a row. On two Krzyzewski farewell games, they beat him. These guys on this team, they've got bragging rights for the rest of their lives. Their money is no good in Chapel Hill. They're godlike figures. To be fair, though, and the reason I think they're going to run out of gas, they're a thin team to begin with. They played their guards 40 minutes against Duke. Manek, I think, played 38 minutes. Bacot played 33, but he fouled out. The bench gave them, like, 13 minutes and 2 points. And you know what? I think Kansas is a good team. I've watched them this year. I think that they're a good team. I'm sort of scared that North Carolina will run out of gas. Now, to be fair, it reminds me a few years back when Frank Kaminsky played on Wisconsin, and Wisconsin beat the overall number one seed, Kentucky, they were undefeated. One of the best college basketball games I've ever seen. They had almost nothing left, you know, when they played Duke in the final and they lost that. I wonder if it will be like that. I do.
Yeah, Tony, I agree with you that I wonder how much North Carolina can have. These are kids. How much can they went on a crusade. How many days in a three-day period, how many crusades can you go on successfully? And, you know, I agree with you, but it doesn't mean the game is anticlimactic.
No, the game may be great. No,
you know,
the game may be great. The one question I have, there's one guy sitting at this game, and I wonder what his feelings are. Roy Williams. He coached at Kansas for over 10 years. He coached
15.
At North Carolina for close to 20 years.
18.
Right? Does he say to himself at any point, ooh, I shouldn't have gotten out of this and given it to Hubert Davis. I could be sitting on this bench and win another one. Don't know.
Yeah, conflicted would be the word, Tony. I think we would both arrive there. But I'm kind of up for this now. Again, I was like you Saturday night, but I'm in a different place today.
Okay.
Let's move to last night's women's final. South Carolina began the season number one and finished it there, beating UConn by 15. Aaliyah Boston had 11 points, 16 boards, and was named the Final Four's most outstanding player. Dawn Staley's South Carolina team has now won two titles since Gino Auriemma and UConn won their most recent of 11 titles 6 full years ago. Tone, are UConn's dominant days over?
In a word, no. You can't say that about a team that was just in the finals. You can't say that they're done, especially not in women's basketball where there are no one-and-dones, where you build a team over some long period of time. Paige Beckers, I believe, is a sophomore. Azie Fudd is a freshman. Look, if you say, I want to go play for Dawn Staley in South Carolina, great. She has one coaching gold medal. She has two national titles. Gino has 3 coaching gold medals and 11 national titles. You're not going to listen to him? You're not even going to take his phone call? I mean, what I'm saying is that South Carolina is indisputably number one now. There's no question. But Baylor was number one for a while, and Notre Dame and Stanford. And to get there, they had to beat UConn. UConn's the gold standard. So, Mike, I'm loathe to say they're done. I'm not going to say it.
I agree with every word you just spoke, except the conclusion. And, Tony, let's look at the progression of every sport in history. I mean, if we go back, when the further you get, all right, and the more people you get in these things, and when talent is distributed differently because people know they have a chance to win somewhere else, then the dominant team recedes. Whether we're talking about the Celtics in the NBA, the Canadiens in the NHL, the Yankees in Major League Baseball, you know, at first those Packers that won 5 times in the NFL. Tone, the further we get, and women's basketball is now progressing to that point where you see a couple of MVPs in the McDonald's game. One of those is close to my family, Kiki Rice, and you see the great players, and all of a sudden they've been recruited by UConn, but they're going to UCLA, and they're going to other places, Tone. They're going to Arizona. They're going, and you look at it, and you go, wow, it doesn't mean Geno's lesser. It doesn't. I mean, he just got a team that he said was in his toughest season. He got them to the final game. They're still great, Tone. Other young, talented women are going places that they didn't go before. And so now, just like college football, when Notre Dame and Oklahoma and Nebraska dominated, they don't anymore. And so I sort of think that's the natural progression.
You may be right. South Carolina is indisputably the best team right now. They beat them by 16 in the regular season. They beat them by 15 in the finals. You know, they're the best. Will they be the best next year and the year after? All I'm suggesting to you is that the brand name in women's college basketball is still UConn. Let's move to the Masters. And the question everyone has been asking me in the last few days, and probably you too, Wilbon, is Tiger playing the Masters? He says it's a game-time decision. He played 9 holes yesterday at Augusta. He has a press conference tomorrow at 11. He can take it all the way up to his tee time if he wants. Wilbon, what kind of an accomplishment would it be if Tiger simply made it to the first tee on Thursday?
Stunning. Miraculous. By the way, doesn't Tiger look thinner to you in these shots that we've seen? Doesn't he look, his core, doesn't he look thinner and even more ripped, if that's possible?
He looks great. The answer is he looks great.
He looks great. And, you know, look, famously, I've had to fight off the two people I talk to most about sports in my life, Anthony Kornheiser and Don Wilbon. It's been a steady barrage for the last 3 years. He's going to play, you're a fool. Then I pick up the other line. He's going to play, you're a fool. Well, I appear to be a fool. I hope he plays. I told you I'd be the first to say I'm wrong. I hope he plays. I don't know that. I mean, when he says game time decision, I don't believe that Tiger follows all sports. He knows what game time decision means. He knows that. I hope he does, Tone. It's just, it was so unthinkable to me 2 months ago that it would be miraculous. Right. Yes, I'm going to use the word miracle, and I don't feel bad about using it. I'm not reticent about using it.
So I read with great intrigue the people who follow the actual mileage of Tiger's private jet, where it takes off and where it lands. I read with great intrigue when they count how many balls he hit with a pitching wedge and how many with a 6-iron. I would step back and basically say this. It's 14 months since he was in an accident that almost cost him his life. Yep. It's unbelievable to me to think that he will play in the Masters. One thing to me is clear, though, Mike. He wants to play. There's no question in my mind he wants to play. I tried to read the tea leaves last week. When he went out and played 18, I thought, well, if he doesn't play the next day, and he didn't, well, then his body is saying to him, don't play, you can't play. But I know, the one thing I know is that he wants to play. I spent the last 3 days at golf courses at Columbia and Rehoboth Beach. Everyone on the range, everyone on the course, everyone in the pro shop, including the pros. And they watch basketball. That doesn't matter right now. Is he going to play? Is Tiger going to play? And neither of us knows. But Mike, I don't know anything about directing television. The people who direct this show know I know nothing. But if he plays, Mike, I would go to the director and I would say this. Every time he hits a shot, every time he pulls a club, every step he takes to his ball, if he gets a sandwich out of his bag and eats it on the fairway, the camera's on
banana,
him.
Right?
Only him. Nobody else. And if somebody else gets a hole in one, we'll get it on tape. But we are watching Tiger every moment Tiger's there. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah, but they got channels for that now. On ESPN Plus, they can follow just on Thursday and Friday.
Tiger.
They can follow only Tiger Cam. You know, they can do that. Tony, it just seems, you know what I was thinking about when I was, I don't know, 15 years old maybe, when Ali came back, and it wasn't the same sort of physical, you know, he wasn't in jeopardy. But when Ali got his license and he came back, I wasn't 15, I was like 12. And that seemed to me to be the most fantastical thing I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, I was 12. I didn't sleep before the Ali fight. You know, he came back against Bonavina and Quarry, and then he fought Joe Frazier. I thought that was the greatest thing of my life. I was there for Michael Jordan's comeback. I got up from a press row in Boise, Idaho, and I took two flights to get to Indianapolis to watch Jordan came back. And I thought, my God, other than Ali, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And now...
this. And he's out there practicing today. Let's take a break. Coming up, Ben Simmons will not return before the play-in games. What does that mean for the Nets?
You know what I think it means. And is Trevor Zegras right? That Jay Beagle deserves to be punished, go to jail, for going old school on the Ducks the other night. Lock him up.
Tiger
Lock
could bring him in. Up. He could bring in the highest rating of any live sports event in ESPN.
Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by Verizon. Verizon is going ultra, so you can too.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's mail time. Questions from the great Unwashed. Let me see what's
mail
first
time.
Here.
Unwashed, really?
Steve Nash said today he would be shocked if Ben Simmons was back before the play-in. What's your reaction to that announcement?
It's kind of, you know, it's kind of a shrug, Tony, because Ben Simmons hasn't been on the court in so long, we've forgotten what he looked like as a basketball player. And my reaction deeper than that is that the Nets are not going to win anything. I know how great Durant and Kyrie are, but I've seen them score close to 80 points a time or two recently, and they lose a game. They're 2-4 in their last six, and they don't play any defense. The Nets are 20th in defensive efficiency in the NBA of 30 teams right now. That would be helped by the presence and play of Ben Simmons. But they don't have him. They're not going to get better defensively, and they're not going to beat anybody in the playoffs if they even make the main draw of the playoffs.
I'm so surprised that Ben Simmons hasn't played yet. Surprise isn't large enough. I'm amazed that he hasn't played. I thought he'd be the first guy out there. I thought emotionally he'd be so relieved to not be in Philadelphia. And I didn't know there was anything wrong with him physically. Did the Nets know there was something wrong with him physically? I had no idea, Mike. Yeah. I mean, I understood that Harden made up an injury so he could get traded because he played within a week, you know, when he got to Philadelphia. Ben Simmons is a ghost. I don't know. I agree with you completely that the Nets aren't going to win anything as a result of this, but it's stunning. This is an enormous trade, and a guy's not out there. He's not out there.
Tony, what he described as the mental challenges and difficulties and this back thing that came up later, but your question is great. What did the Nets know physically about him before they said yes to the deal?
Is Trevor Zegras right that Jay Beagle, your boy, needs to be punished?
Zegras is 1,000% right. Zegras, by the way, he's sort of the Kyrie Irving of the NHL. He's the most creative goal scorer and puck handler maybe since Gretzky. I mean, these lacrosse-style goals, he's been doing this all year. Well, he does this and embarrasses, I guess, the Ducks, and he gets cross-checked really hard, and Beagle not only does
he do... He is
right. And not only embarrass the Coyotes, I'm sorry. Not only does he do that, Tone, but then he wails on some smaller guy who's not a fighter, which you just can't do in the NHL. That's not been the unwritten rule. That's the written rule. Bash the guy's eye in. The NHL should do what the other sports have done. The NFL has legislated defense out of the game. The NBA has legislated enforcers out of the game. Every sport has done this. The NHL largely. Get him out. Get him out now. Just keep him out of the playoffs. It just did this thuggish, goonish thing. You can't let it go unpunished.
So I think he should be suspended for beating up on a guy who, as you say, is a goal scorer and not a fighter. If you want to go after Zegras, which he did, but go after him again. Don't go after the guy standing 5 feet away. But where you and I differ, Mike, is I sort of like the self-policing of the unwritten rules in certain sports. In baseball, if you hit one of my guys, I'm going to hit you. I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to hit you. If you show me up, I may come back and hit you. And I think where we are in the NHL now with Zegras, with his fancy goals that the crowds love, is where baseball was 5 years ago with bat flips. And the older, old school people say, oh, we can't have any of this. The NHL's got to work this out. But Beagle, he's got to go for what he did. Enough email.
Well, you know what, Tony? The Coyotes don't even going to make the playoffs. They're in last place. So you got to figure out something to punish him, but it won't be that.
Really? Because I thought, I bet a lot of money on him to win the whole thing. But still to come, Sean Manaea gets traded and then does something you don't see very often.
And is Joel Embiid right that he's held to a different standard in the MVP race? I guess I could run into Beagle out here, like at the gas station or something, and he could, you know, decide to take me on.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Happy time, people. Happy 38th birthday, Sean May. May led North Carolina to the NCAA championship in 2005 with 26 points and 10 rebounds against Illinois and was named most outstanding player. It was surprising that May went to North Carolina considering his father is Scott May, the top player on Indiana's undefeated national championship team in 1976. They're one of only four father-son duos to win NCAA championships. Sean May was a first-round pick of Charlotte in 2005, but averaged merely 6.9 points in his pro career. May is now back at North Carolina, where he's an assistant to Hubert Davis.
Terrific player, championship, but not his father, Tone. I mean, his father, who was drafted by the Bulls. I mean, Scott May say, that's Quinn Buckner's team to me. But I know you loved that team. You were there in person for some of those big games, maybe the championship. Great, maybe the last great team, right? Truly great, undefeated?
Well, certainly the last undefeated team. Certainly the last undefeated team. Happy anniversary, Danny Manning. As we honor North Carolina, we honor Kansas. On this day, 34 years ago, Manning scored 31 points and had 18 rebounds to lead Kansas over Oklahoma in the national championship game. My old camp counselor, Larry Brown, was the Kansas coach. R.C. Buford, now general manager of the San Antonio Spurs, was one of his assistants, as was Manning's father, Ed. After his NBA career, Danny Manning turned to coaching. He was head coach at Tulsa and Wake Forest, and this season he was interim coach at Maryland, taking over after his old Kansas teammate, Mark Turgeon, left that job in December.
And it was interim, Tony. Kevin Willard has now been hired at Maryland. I don't know how that's going to work out. Danny Manning, like Penny Hardaway, they were just two of my favorites to watch play. And I know injuries just didn't allow them to be as great as they could have been, even though they were great.
Happy trails to Oakland for Sean Manaea. Manaea, who was Oakland's number one starter, was traded to San Diego on Saturday night and ended up pitching against Oakland on Sunday afternoon after packing his bag Sunday morning in the same ballpark the teams played in. Manaea is the latest man overboard as the A's dump salaries. John Heyman points out that in 1991, Oakland had the highest payroll in baseball, $33 million. And now, 31 years later, Oakland's payroll is still $33 million. Manaea is a dependable, consistent pitcher who eats innings. He will become the Padres' fourth starter behind Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, and Blake Snell. And by the way, Wilbon, the Padres' payroll, $231 million.
Manaea must be 6'7". He looks like Shaq saying goodbye to his former teammates out there. It's like, whoa, that's a stunner. By the way, that Oakland team, Tony, was at glamour. Deserved to make some money back in 1991 with the Bash Brothers. Ricky Henderson, Dave Stewart, they are loaded. Loaded. They didn't make the playoffs that year, but they were still loaded.
Three straight World Series. When's the last time that was done? Let's go to the big finish.
Yes.
White Sox ace Lance Lynn sideline until at least mid-May with a tendon tear in his right knee. Is that a big loss?
11-6, 269 last season. The White Sox start every season, it seems, with these catastrophic injuries. This is awful. The Patriots traded for Dolphins receiver Devontae Parker. Is that significant, though?
Well, Miami doesn't need him because they got Tyreek Hill. The last Patriot receiver from the Dolphins, Wes Welker. Could I interest you in a career like that? Joel Embiid, your boy, says the MVP standard is different from him than others. Do you agree with that?
No, I have a vote, and the standard's no different. And he could win. He's right there with Giannis right now, and I got both of them above Joker. No, stop. Frank Gore plans to sign a one-day deal and retire as a Niner. Your thoughts, Tone?
One of the great yardage gainers of all time, third all-time for running backs, going to the Hall of Fame, no question. Last one, the Mavs beat the Bucks last night. Is that significant?
Tony, yes, the Mavericks have flown below the radar all season, right? And Luka responded to the challenge, the public challenge from his coach, Jason Kidd. Good for both of them. We got to start paying attention to the Mavs.
We're out of time as I reach for my flag. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same.